Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. What are we looking at this month? Honor culture. Romans 15. I hope you've been learning. I will take a few minutes of your time today. We will not be going for evangelism today, just because we need to go to the new venue we're going to be using on Wednesdays to just understand. Not everyone is obligated to, but I would admonish you if you want to know the place and all of that. We can go together after church. Right, but it means I'm permitted to take a little more time today. Where did I say you turn to? Okay, Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Are we together? That we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now, one of the things we're looking at is honor. And we said honor means to what? Treat. Is that correct? Yes. To treat, is that to regard? Yes. Honor means to treat and regard. Is that correct? Yes. A place. Is that correct? Yes. A person. Is that correct? Yes. Yeah. So honor means you treat, you regard, right, a place, a person, right, with a sense of what?
Admiration.
Very important. So we've been looking at what honor is, looking across scriptures, but one of the things I've said over time, right, is that there is what you call the consequence of what? Dishonor. Yeah. Is that correct? Yes, there's what you call the consequence of dishonor. Very important, right? I was talking with a dear friend of mine, and some of you know him, Simon, right? And this was a couple weeks ago. This was a couple weeks ago. Now, there was a question he asked around seed sowing. Are we together? Right? And how I answered it, when I looked, the call lasted probably 2.5 or 3 hours long. And when I finished that conversation, and I sat back and I reminisced on what we spoke about, I found out that I said some things that were a little wise. Amen? Right? Now, what was the question about seed sowing? You know, people sow seed. Do you know what I mean, sowing? Money, right? You sow a seed into a man's life. You know, people do that a lot of times. If you notice, one of the things I've said consistently in all our teachings is about extremes. Remember that? Yeah? People take things extreme. And because we want to tackle that extreme, we go another extreme. So now the concept of seed sowing, right? What exactly does he do? Are we together? Right? When someone sows a seed or gives a gift to a pastor, are we together? What does he do? Now, one of the things you will find out in scriptures is that it is first well taught across scriptures. You know, you cannot honor someone you don't act in honor towards. Are we together? And your act of honor will also include something, you know, financial and everything. So, but a lot of times, where we place our emphasis on is on what we are sowing as a seed, rather than the seed of honor that is given. Listen to what I've just said. You know, when you give a man of God a gift, there are two seeds in what you are doing. One is what you call seed materially, and one is what you call the seed of honor. Are we together? Such that that seed of honor, when recognized by God's servants, can make God's servants say something over your life. Are we together? But you see where the mistake happens. A lot of times, we might not attribute it to the what? To the seed material money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You get the point, right? You will not attribute it. I know, I found out something. In my very few days of pastoring, right, you know, I've been privileged to have certain or receive certain gifts from certain people and in different denominations and all of that. You know, the first time I received a gift, right, of what you call a gift in millions, so to say, do you know that I had to intentionally, you know, hear what I want to say? You know what I want to say? You don't know what I want to say? Do you know that there's an amount somebody will give you, it will fuel the unction. Are you with me? Let nobody deceive you. Are we together? right? And so for me as a pastor, one of the things I ensure I do is to ensure I stay back, right, and focus on the honor to at least give that gift. Are they too important? Are they too important? Are they too important? Are they too important? You know, you cannot act in honor towards someone and not respond, and not do something. Are we together? Honor will show in your actions. You know, you can say you honor someone in your heart, but if we don't see it in your actions, it's as much as saying that that one is just word for head knowledge. What am I saying? And now, one of the things I said on that conversation was that the truth is that where the emphasis should be on is in the heart to see that such a person deserves such a gift. You know, there are some people, and let me correct this today. Let me tell you, you are in error if the person you give more gift to as a pastor is not your local church pastor. Are you with me? Yeah. You have one pastor somewhere that is popular. You would rather take your $100,000 to go and give. But when doctor call you and say you have one issue, the person you will call is the person that is what? Yeah, that's dishonorable. Are you here? Are you here? Are we here? You know, we've prayed that I will not be political. Is that not correct? Let me come out straight. If you are, if there's a bishop somewhere who you think is deserving more of your gifts, who doesn't know you exist, doesn't know anything about you, or you are trying to use your money to buy your way into his or her life because you think your pastor is a small man, right, who doesn't deserve that so-called gift, you're already in dishonor. Are you here? You know, we have that practice a lot. You're a member of God's palace. Your pastor will not sleep. He will pray over you. And you'll rather go and give a gift to somebody who will say, I'm praying for you. Remember my dad used to tell me of one man, one of his friends in the mountain. He slept throughout on the mountain, you know, only for him to wake up in the night and was calling one big man somewhere. I said, well, we prayed all through the night for you. Someone who was snoring. And that one now, we have his local church pastor. Because, you know, as a local church pastor, one of the ways you get connected to your people is by praying for them. So more often than not, an average local church pastor will pray for his member or her member. But you see, once you start saying that, oh, there's this big bishop that is deserving of my $100,000, let me just remove £500 and give Joshua Yusuf or give whatever your pastor is, you are in dishonor. Are you with me? Some of you, your tithes you're supposed to be giving to your local church, you split it into seven. Do you understand? Like, when you leave a local church and you are now being fed in a local church, that is your local church. You can't take away the blessing that your former local church was to you. Right? But it does not mean that you will now decide to reduce your givings in your local church now, where you are being fed Sunday, Wednesday, week in, week out. Are we in church today? So, honor, placing honor where honor is due, is so fundamental. Do you know that when you give towards a cause, more often than not, your heart will want to see that cause succeed. When you pay school fees for your children, no matter how expensive it is, what is your goal? That eventually they come out in flying colors. If they told you that that child will not succeed, will you spend as much as you are spending? So it means that when you decide to be stingy a little with some of your givings, for instance, I don't know why I'm talking about givings today, but God help our heart. And we're together. It is as a result of you not placing honor where honor is due. Are we together? Why am I saying this? I told you, December 2024, while I was on a retreat, it just came strong on my heart that Joshua, ensure that you don't build a church where people who are outside of the church benefit more from those who are inside the church. Because that was the exact testimony of the life of my father. And that's why I'm saying some things clearly. Are we together? You have an issue. You have this. And what, you know, like I'm teaching you, I said anything I'm teaching you today is what you carry along with you in your Christian journey. Are we together? Yeah? Pastor, I cannot sleep. Oh. Do you know how many pastors I cannot sleep you tackle as a pastor? And eventually, where you are supposed to, you know, I told you of a story of someone who went to sow a seed to get a contract. Is that correct? Yeah. Do you remember what I said about that story? What did I say? I didn't collect the... Okay, it's better to give the secretary, yeah? I didn't collect the seed. I went together, and he got the contract. Yeah? So what did I do to him? I prayed with him. What was counted in that interaction? His honor. Did you get that? So do you now see where the spirit is? There is the financial, the material part in attachment to it. You get the point? But the truth remains that there are words. Let me tell you a story. Have you heard of the man called Dangote? I heard of this story. I wasn't born then. Have you heard of a man called Archbishop Benson Idahosa? I heard of a story that there was a day, T.L. Osborne. You know T.L. Osborne? Okay, some of you might know T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne and his wife came to Africa, to Benin City, to preach. Right? But for some reasons, they just lost track of time and everything, because Archbishop's Miracle Center Church is directly opposite the airport. I remember seeing it when I went to Benin last time. Right? And they couldn't get a flight. So Archbishop Benson Idahosa got to the airport and he said he needs these two couple to meet a flight in Lagos that will take them to South Africa or America or something like that. Right? And they said, no, every train is filled up. And every seat on the flight is filled up. Guess what he did? He got into his car and he drove all the way to the runway. Are we here? According to the story I heard, that the plane was already taxiing. And he drove all the way to the airport, right? And he drove to go and face the plane. The plane was coming towards him. He drove and he came down and started winging the plane to stop. Now what happened? Because they knew him, he was already on TV at the time. They let down the staircase to go up and he got on the flight. And he said, hello everyone, how are you doing today? Hope you are fine. Please, God's servants, two of them, need to get to Lagos now. I need two people to give up their seats now. After a few minutes, people just say, but people knew his face. They're like, there's something I need to go and do, something I need to go and do, blah, 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 and everything. And a man stood up with his PA and said, you know what? Let these people go. Let me stay. And you know what Archbishop Benson said to him? He said, the way you stood up for me and for God's servant today, the world will stand for you. And he left the plane. Guess who the man was? Dangote. Was there money given there? But was there honor there? Are you together? Are we together? Like I said, it's not my decision to either judge if the story existed or not. I read it. You can go and read it. I'm only using it to admonish you. Are you here? Are you with me today? Yeah? I'm only using it to what? I didn't live with Archbishop. I never met him. Right? But you see, why do I bring some of these stories into our reality? It's so that you can know that once he existed in the Bible, it also existed or exists in our world. Are we together? Very important. You see, there is no way that honor... You know, some of us are fighting for things that dishonor has closed the door against. Are we together? You know, some of us are looking for what is not lost because you have chosen not to honor the person you are living with. Are we together? Or honor the people in your believers meeting group. Are we together? So when you think about the concept of honor, one of the things you must always ensure is that there is not, you must always remind yourself rather, is that there is no time that dishonor can be termed godly. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Let me go show you a few examples today. There is no time that dishonor can be called godly. Let's look at a few examples in Numbers chapter 12. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Dishonor can never be a prompting of the Spirit. Dishonor can never be a prompting of the Spirit. You can't say, I was led by the Spirit to give it. So no. Are we together? One of the things you will find out in life is that the people who are deserving of honor a lot of times will have flaws. The people who are deserving of honor, a lot of times, will have flaws. But there's such a thing called having to look past the flaws of man. Are we together? Are we together? Very important. So let's look at a few things. What happens when there is no honor? Right? When there is no honor, what happens? Look at Numbers 12. Are you there? Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against who? Are you not there? Numbers 12. Quickly go there. Numbers 12, are you now there?
Yes,
let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So what's the implication of that? How do you say what they just said in our world today? Eh? Is it only you God can use to minister to us? Is that not it? Yeah? Is that not what happens in our world today? Co-equals. Okay? Listen, oh. Now the man Moses was very meek, above all men, which were upon the face of the earth. Who is writing Numbers? Okay, verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out ye three unto the tabernacle and congregation. And they three came out. Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to what? Speak against this. So what is God saying to them? Oh, are you, when you were saying that thing, wanted to say, were you not scared? Are we together? Let me tell you something. It is godly for you to be scared to say some things to some people. Write it in your note and put asterisk. Can you hear? It is godly for you to be scared to say some things to some people. God asked them, were you not scared? Are you not? Right? And what now happens in verse 9? You know, so the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Look at verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, what happened? Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was what? Leprous. Verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have what? Sinned. Right? Let her not be as one that is dead. Is that correct? Of whom the flesh is half consumed, and when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Verse 13, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. Verse 16, 15, and Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Verse 16, and afterwards, the people removed from Ezra and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Who was Aaron and Miriam to Moses? They were siblings. Are we together? Right? And who again was Moses to Aaron and Miriam? Their friend and their pastor. Moses was their leader. Are we together? Right? So, were they siblings? With what we've taught in the last few weeks, how many types of honor should they have given Moses? Two. One. Spiritual leader. And what? Biological. That is siblings. Are we together? Was Moses deserving, are we together, of honor as a brother to Aaron and Miriam? Because we are taught that what you honor your siblings. Right? What other kind of honor? So what did they dishonor? They dishonored two. So that means they dishonored Moses twice. Both what? As a brother and also as a what? As their pastor. And what happened to them? There was a consequence. Are we together? The Bible says, and there was leprosy upon them. Who redeemed them from leprosy? Moses. What did Moses do? He prayed. Are you with me? Right? So Moses, who they dishonored as a family member, and also God's method and God's choice, was the one that still prayed for them. Don't forget, Romans 15, The things that are written in our head were written for our what? Learning. So why are we reading numbers? You know, some of us don't like reading numbers. You don't understand? No, numbers. That's the God of the old. We also enter the new. We will enter the new and show us. That's the God of the old. You know, I told you. See, there's consequence of dishonor. In my theology and my study, I haven't gotten to a point where I understand which kind of dishonor is redeemable or which one is not redeemable. But my responsibility is to teach you that don't allow dishonor to breed in your heart. Are we together? Remember I told you a story of a pastor last week, for instance? Somebody, he was asking people to put up their phone. And somebody said, in their mind, though, maybe even more bully to themselves. And that was the end of their speech. Are we together? You know, wait, I was not there. So the same way I was not there is the same way I'm not here in Numbers 12. My own is to use both this story and that story to corroborate. Just so that your heart is in the safe place. Number 16. I'm going to read number 16. Are you there? Let's read. So we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 40. Are we here? The Bible is to be what? It's to be read, though. You want us to quickly just sprinkle one verse? Let's read it. Verse 1, 1, 2, 3, go. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram and son of Eliab, and On, and the son of Peleth, son of what? Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assemblies, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Hold on. So who is Nathan, Dathan, Abiram, and Korah? They're sons of who? Do you think they were leaders? For them to have influence over 250, that means they had a sense of influence in the church. So they took 250 to themselves. Okay, go ahead. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, verse 3, and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, whereof they lift up the congregation of the Lord. Verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Verse 5, and he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who I is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, and even him whom he had chosen. Will it cause to come down to? Are we still following? Yes. Verse 6. This do, take ye censers, is that correct? Yes. Korah and all the companies. Verse 7. And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon yourself, ye son of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, ye son of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of the Israel to bring you near to himself and to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he had brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the son of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all the company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the son of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. What's happening? Pastor sent for them. What did they say? We're not going. We're not going anywhere. All right. If Muhammad cannot go to the mountain, how do they say it now? Mountain. The mountain will come to Muhammad. I don't even know how possible that parable is. You shall get the point. Let's look at verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flowed milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a priest over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey, or giving us honor and inheritance in the fields and the vineyard. Wilt thou put out the eyes of the men? We will not come up. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Right? And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord thou, and they and Aaron tomorrow. Verse 17. And take every man his censer and put incense in them and bring ye before every man into the 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto the congregation. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. Verse 21. Separate yourself from among the congregation, that I may... Okay, verse 22 now. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin and was thou wrought with us in the congregation? And let's speak unto Moses, saying, verse 23, verse 24, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from out of the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan. Hold on, what's happening here? It means that some things can touch you based on association. Some things can touch you based on proxy. Is that correct? Okay, so what's the instruction? Instruction is what? Go in your Bibles. And Moses rose up. What verse are we in now? 25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and elders of Israel, followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Are we together? That means, when you see this honor, what do? You separate yourself. Quick. Are we together? What you see where they are talking about, let me tell you as a church, I beg you in God's name, don't bring problem to us as a church that you want us to pray for you when it was based on your carelessness. When you see people talking about men of God, please, I beg you, pack your load and go. I beg you. Don't go and be forming Greek word. Even Peter, you know, even Paul, where was Paul when Peter was winning 3,000 souls? And yet, Paul withstood Peter. My dear, are you Paul? Are we here? I know why I'm saying this. So, you know, there are people, let me tell you for free. See, don't let one extreme deal with you. There are people who are suffering things today because of what they've done before. Did God redeem us? Yes, so, from the consequences of sin and death. And he gave you authority so that you can use your head. Are we together? Have you seen demonic attack? They do exist. They do happen. Amen? And they do happen to some of the people who are Christians. Are we together? You know, I said it on Wednesday. If you asked me this question 13 years ago, my answer would not be what I'm saying today. You know, when you've not casted that demon before, you can stay with Greek word a lot. Have you here? For the Greek word is amathia, apollo. They will beat you. They will beat you on your Greek word. Are we together? Right? Is Greek word important? It's very important too. But I can tell you, the Bible is whole. Alathia. You say alathia. Alathia means to out. See, better carry fire. Better carry power. You carry power, I know. You know, sometimes when I'm teaching like this, you think it's pastor on doing what he's doing. I'm not doing anything, no. You carry power, we know. Are we together? But you know, there's such a thing called placing honor on where honor needs to be placed. Are we together? So what did Abraham, Dathan, and Korah, what did they do? Who is Moses? They just said, how can pastor ask me to come to his house? I don't ask who. Do you understand? If it's that serious, pastor should drive all the way to my house. You know, it can be that silent. You know you can communicate to pastor that is not convenient without talking that way. Me, you. Before you were born again, I was even born again. Do you know where? You know, this thing affects a lot of us in this woke generation. We are a new generation. Right? And people that God is raising are people that don't have consecration. Are we together? Their own is just to be shouting and be talking. When you see, so what is Moses warning them? Moses said, if you are not part of that dishonor, please leave their camp. Is it in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what did they do? They dishonored the man, Moses. Who is Moses? God's servant. Let me ask you a question. What they were complaining about in Numbers 12 that Moses did, was it supposed to be wrong? He married somebody that was not from amongst them, and it was among the law that was given. Are we together? Eh? But did Moses do that which was wrong? But that he did it does not mean you are the one. Are we here? It does not mean, no. When you see where they are talking about pastors, I beg you. In fact, even if the pastor that your spirit has judged that is fake, please leave there. Peradventure is not as fake as your spirit judged. Are we here? If you like, have vision that you saw the man entering inside coven and it was bringing. What you see, as long as they say this is God's servant, I beg you in God's name. I'm saying there are more things you can do with your Christian life. See, how does Bible teach we expose false prophets? It's not by saying he's a false. See, when I begin to come to the stage, I'm going to name names of pastors and call them false prophets. I'm actually walking in dishonor. That's not my work. What is my responsibility? Is to teach. It is in teaching that we know false prophets. not in name. You see that man? You see that man? You see that man? You see his hair? You see? You see his beard? Fake. Are we together? So Moses said, leave his camp. Why are we now? Verse 20 what? Verse 27, let's continue reading. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram and on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tent and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby, ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all this work, for I have not done them of my own mind. Verse 29, if this man die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then they the Lord shall not have not sent. Verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertains unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have what? Provoked the Lord. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of the speaking of these words, the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth what? Opened a mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that pertain to Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertain to them went down alive into the pit. Are we together? And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all of Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us also. And they came out of fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, and take up the censers out of the burnings, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Verse 28, the censers of these sinners against thy souls, let them make thy broad breadth of the covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. Verse 39, and Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherein their bones were offered, and they were made broad plates of covering of the altar. Verse 41 to 3, go, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near the offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company. And the Lord said unto him, did they recover? Did they recover? Did Miriam recover? Yeah. What's changed? I don't know. Are we here? What's the difference? I don't know. The Bible says the things that were written for our learning. That we through the patience and comfort of scriptures now what? Have hope. So we have the likes of Aaron and Miriam who will recover from dishonor. And we have the likes of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, right? What did the Bible say about it? The floor opened them and swallowed. You know, if we talk about it in this world, they'll say it's earthquake. Is that not something like earthquake? Was it written in the Bible? Yes, it was. Let me tell you for free. I taught you about figure of speech, but this one is not figure. Are we here? I know I've taught you metonymy. I've taught you personification, similarly. I taught you, but this one is not simile anything. This one, they saw it evidently. Are we here? There is a consequence for this one. Write this in your note. This honor is costly. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 11. This honor is costly. This one is not to put fear in you. Don't be scared, though. But be wise. Proverbs 30. Are you in Proverbs 30? Dishonor is costly. Is that correct? Proverbs 30, verse 11. It says, there's a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, you have heard some pastors quote these things in our world right now. Because, you know, we have people who just talk around, you know, anybody anyhow. Right? You know, and this is not something that started happening today. It says, they curse their mother, they curse their father, and in their eyes, they think they are pure. It says, verse 13, there's a generation who are lofty at their eyes, and their eyelid are lifted up. There's a generation, verse 14, whose teeth are a sword, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from amongst men. Right? You know, there's such a thing called getting to tame yourself. Right? Now, and there, you know, there's also honor for those who have gone ahead of you. All together, there's honor for those who have gone ahead of you. And it's one thing that in our world, if we don't emphasize on it, we would lose out on a lot of things. Have you not found that we our parents, we have more record of consecration from the generation of our parents than our generation now. Are we together? Even though in their generation, they didn't have social media, yet you knew that those who were serving Jesus with their all. But in our generation, we have more people who are posting themselves trying to serve Jesus and are not serving Jesus. Altogether, you know, I always tell you, when you see somebody who their social media page is filled of them waking up in the morning to go and kneel down beside their bed, they don't have a prayer life. Are we together? If you have a prayer life, you will not be that. How can you wake up from your bed? You stand up, you set your camera, you now go back under your duvet. Then you now open your duvet and now stretch, and you are living alone. And all of a sudden, now I wake up in the morning and I start my prayer. No. Yeah? Such that you now find out that we even have people who bring tripods to the church to video themselves crying in worship. Are we together? Right? And when they set the camera, they'll go and confirm if the video is on. Some of them won't have remotes. They just tap it. Are we together? And when they go and check it and the thing did not really show them crying enough, they will not go back again and force themselves to cry. You know, that's why I say in the church, people that cry, it's not everybody that cry, that they are crying because of love for God. Are we together? Some is heartbreak. Some is job they lost. Some is job that they got to final stage and they say, unfortunately. And that's the time to just remember it and just, you know, you will cry. You are laughing. Yes, now. Nah. Whether you just remember they give you unfortunately, you just go back home. You don't, out of your belly. It will just come out on its own. Are we together? Right? But you see, our parents, they went to church with their Bible. They went to their writing material. They wrote. They will sit down. They will honor their pastor. Their pastor has come to their house. You know that how people received pastors years ago is getting watered down now. It's getting watered down now. Yeah? How people receive pastors. Before, say, hey, my pastor is coming. Hey, this, this, that. But now, how you doing now? How fine? I hope you're fine now. Good, 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 good. I hope you're going good, good, good. We are good. Let me tell you, right? Honor cannot said to be honor when it's not expressed. Are we here? Very, very important, right? So, you see that there's a repercussion for this honor. There's a repercussion for honor as well. People get things because of honor. You know, we look at the story of the woman Hannah, who honored the priest, is that correct? Right? And she was praying, and the priest, even though he missed it he was not even in the spirit, he missed it totally. Yeah, what happened? The man prayed for her, and the time next year, she would give it. Now, the children of Israel is another example. You know, Moses was their leader. He spent their life, he gave their all. This is what I was talking about earlier on. When you see a pastor, for instance, who gives, look at Exodus 18. And it came to pass on the morrow. And Moses had to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that they did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand thee from morning until evening? Verse 15. It says, and Moses said unto father-in-law, because the people came unto me to inquire of God. So Moses was somebody who was selfless. He was hardworking. He was a man of faith, first author of scriptures. He was somebody who wrote scriptures such that every other author quoted him. That's who Moses was. He was somebody who was very selfless. You see, the name Moses appeared in scriptures about 848 times. I went together. 848 times was referenced in scripture that much. But yet, see how the people refer to him. Go to chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 11. Exodus 14, 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? To carry us further out of Egypt, verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than what? For us to die in the wilderness. What do you think was happening there? That's the son of now. They're just talking to him. Why didn't you leave us to perish in Egypt? You brought us here. You said you are the man of faith. Look at chapter 15, verse 24. He says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Do you think murmur, do you know that you can ask for something without murmuring? Even Chidalo had to look at me. That was happening to Pastor. Eh? You know, you can actually ask for something. See, if there's somebody who is used to murmuring, and you are bold, say, I'm bold. No, how are you? Mm-hmm. How are you doing today? How's work? You know, you can actually open your mouth and talk. So what were they doing to Moses? I'm crying from Munchie Farms. They said, we have a man of faith. And I was suffering inside the bush. Yeah? You know, they could have met Moses and say, Pastor, right, we are thirsty. Do you know where you can get water to drink? You know, Momo is an offshoot from dishonor. Are we together? First of all, their heart was already angry with Moses that he would have left us with the Egyptians. Altogether, look at chapter 16, verse 2. It says, and the whole congregation and children of Israel murmured against Moses. That means murmuring was part of their lifestyle. Are we together? And the children of Israel said unto him, woe to God that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread and food, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us in the whole assembly with hunger. Is that not sarcasm? Verse 7. It says, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, that he heareth your murmuring against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and the morning bread to fall, and the Lord heareth your murmuring which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Right? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Chapter 17, verse 2. Wherefore the people did cheat with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said unto them, why cheat ye with me? Right? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Verse 3. And the people thirst there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us with our children and cattle with tents? So you can keep reading and start seeing levels of dishonor towards Moses, level of complaints towards Moses. I wrote something, and I said, dishonor comes with other apparatuses. Or you can say offshoots. Dishonor comes with other offshoots, which includes murmuring, complaint, and eventually unbelief. You know, in the midst, I've said again, dishonor comes with other offshoots, which includes murmuring, complaint, unbelief. You know, you can actually ensure that your heart is shielded. Have you heard of the man Jacob, Joshua, and Caleb? Were they amongst Judah of Israel? They were amongst Judah of Israel, right? But did they get to the promised land? They got to promised land, Abby. Did Joshua and Caleb partake in dishonor in the camp? No. If I ask you a question, which other set of people do you think did not partake in dishonor in that camp? I mean, the people that were trying to relocate from Egypt, who do you think would have been another category of people who would not have partaken of dishonor to Moses? Huh? The what? The children. Are we together? The younger ones. Are we together? But eventually, they might begin to partake when they watch their parents. Are we together? You know, you can learn. I remember watching. You know, I grew up in my life. My father taught me never to visit a pastor without a gift of honor. It never happens that you visit a pastor. Are we together? Right? Sometimes, my dad can drive 2 hours to go and get money, to give to 2 hours extra to go and get a gift to give to a prophet. Are we together? Right? What am I saying to you? Me, I learned that culture and I've picked from him. There's a level of dishonor I would have seen my dad operating. You know, my father, bless his heart. My father, when you see if you hear people praying for my father, you would think he has not achieved anything in this life. You can receive in the middle of the night, amen! You will know the amen is from inside. Are we together? Are we together? That's why even me too, when I'm receiving from men, I also saw a template. But if I had a father who just said, you know, some people when I pray for them, the amen, you will not even know if they are saying amen or hmm. It just blend. Amen. Are we together? Right? Yeah, there are things that your parents have established already. Now, some parents can give a method of dishonor, and some can give a method of honor. Eventually, the child will be a product of either of them. But happy are you when, as a child of God, you realize you need to ensure you align your heart to what the Bible expects from you, particularly as a believer. Are we together? Right? So murmuring is a part of the Christian faith or a part of the believer's life that is an offshoot. Are we together? It's an offshoot of dishonor. Murmuring, complaining, unbelief eventually. You now realize that Paul talked about the murmuring of the Egyptians, of the Israelites right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at Samuel. Let's look at one example before we close today. Samuel and Saul. Who do you know Samuel and Saul? Pastor Samuel, is that correct? Or Prophet Samuel? Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 9. And in verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, right? Who is this man that had a son? Kish in verse 1. A choice young man and a goodly, and there was none among the children of Israel that was goodlier than person than him, for his shoulder and upward he was higher than any of the people. Look at verse 6. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in the city a what? A man of God. And he is honorable. Is a honorable what? Man. All that he said come surely to pass. Now let's us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Look at verse 7. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we what? Is that gift? Is that gift? So Saul was a man who knew that when you are going to meet a pastor, you go with a gift. You know, when you are somebody who, for instance, your pastor who labors over you morning, afternoon, evening, daily, week in, week out, right? There is not a gift you've ever said, pastor, leader, this is my gift. Yeah? It's also an expression of dishonor. Are we here? Are we together? Are we together? You know, one of the mistakes we make a lot of times is that we think that our pastors or our leaders don't need our gifts. It could be for so many reasons. Maybe you think your pastor is doing this. You have a perception of who you think your pastor is materially. Right? You see, but gifts or givings to God's servant is doctrinal and instructed in scriptures. Are we together? Such that when Paul will teach it, we'll get there. He will say, let those that labor over you be giving things materially. He didn't use figure of speech. It is materially. So, for instance, our pastor has come to minister to us in the coming days right now. Is that not correct? Yeah. When he finishes, we will not point hand to him. You know what it means to point hand? Let's point hand to him and what? That the virtue that come back for him. And people start, we will do that too. Eh? But there's such a thing called Samuel knowing, or Saul knowing, that there's a blessing that he will get from Samuel. And there's a gift he should go with. Are we together? Are we together? And we're 90% sure of the date pastor is coming now. Amen? We'll talk about that later. Praise God. Right? But you see, Saul said, you know, when you see these things in the Bible, see it as an example. Are we together? See it as an example. Yeah? When you hear a pastor talking like this, not begging for gift, though. I hope you know. Amen? Because the truth is that as a pastor, it's very easy for you to and I've done this for years, but I'm depriving you of so many things in your Christian faith. I've done this for years when I shield behind and say, it is to your benefit when you give your pastor a gift. Do you get the point? Let me see, Pastor Shegun always says something. Givers mean a lot to pastors. That's Pastor Shegun that taught us materialism. You understand what I'm going to say? He said, there's nobody. The first day someone gave me millions of naira, bro. I almost removed my shoe to touch the floor and pray. Your life will go forward. I'm telling you. I'm like, hey? I said, this thing. But you see, who benefited from that? The person who did. All together. Don't think you want to get your millions of naira or millions of pounds before you can give a gift. No. The essence of the giving is not as much in the quantity or in the quality, but at least don't be stingy. You know, there's a balance to it. We will say it now. They've prayed for me now, not politics. Is that correct? Yeah, there's a balance to it. Yeah, some of us are so stingy that you want to give somebody who has been a blessing to you, you will cut it. Yeah, you want to send a gift to someone. You in your mind of mind, you had in a prompting your heart to give somebody £100, for instance. Eventually, 70, 50, Jerry. As you're trying to type 50, you just change it to 3. 30. Pastor, just send £15. Pastor, it doesn't have the problem we are going through. That's not that's not your mindset towards giving. It's an instruction, a doctrinal instruction towards those who labor over you in prayer or in things of doctrine. So was Saul well trained? Saul was well trained now. Watch what I'm about to show you today. So, and he said, what shall we bring to him as a gift? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul and said, so it's out of what you have you give. Is that correct? Yes, he's not going to take loan. But out of what you have, you are not stingy. Are we together?
Yes,
yeah? He says, and the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Look at verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go and see the seer, for he is now called a prophet, for a prophet was before time called a seer. You know, at this point, Saul did not really know Pastor Samuel. But he was told about Pastor Samuel. Are you here? He was told about him, and he knew that the right thing to do is to honor Pastor Samuel. Look at verse 21 for our time. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribe of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Israel? Wherefore then speaketh thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the palace and made them to sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Right? So one of the things you will see is that the question Samuel asked about what to give Samuel was a question of honor. That means honor can be substantial. Is that correct? Yeah, that means something material. It can be something material. It can be something evidently seen. Right? Honor includes praying for your pastor. Also includes what? Praying for your leaders and giving materially. Look at chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. Verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulder and upwards. And Samuel said to the people, see ye him whom the Lord had chosen. Is that Samuel to Saul? Right? So it was so, if you look at what was happening right here, they were trying to even push Saul. That means it was a very quiet, very lowly person. Look at verse 25. Then Samuel told the people of the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it upon before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts are touched the Lord. Look at chapter 13, verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. This is Samuel, though. This is after a year, if you look at verse 1, right? According to the set time. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him, right? And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. Now, let me give you a background to what is happening. The priest was responsible for giving certain offerings, but the priest had not come. That's what is happening in 1 Corinthians 13, right? Who is the priest? Samuel, the pastor, right? He had not come. So what did Saul do? Saul decided to do the work of a priest. Look at it. Look at what verse are you in? Verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering and a peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might what? Salute him. Look at verse 11. And Samuel said, what has thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philippians gathered themselves together at what? Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistine will not come down now upon the Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a what? Burnt offering. What did Samuel say in verse 13? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel. So what was happening? Pastor was supposed to come and do naming ceremony. Or pastor was supposed to come and do birthday prayer. Right? And pastor said he'll be there by 4. But pastor has not come by 4. What happened? I'm telling you what happened in the Bible. Are we together? Yeah? Pastor has not come by 4. 5. Pastor has not come. 6. Pastor has not come. Somebody just came and said, this one, the pastor is not even come. Let's just pray. It's not just prayer. What is pastor coming to do? What did Saul say? Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. Do you know that that was the end of Saul's reign? Such that, look at what happens in verse, if you look at verse 15. And Samuel rose and get him up to Gilgal. Let me look at verse, look at 13 again. That done foolishly, look at the commandment of the Lord, verse 14. But now the kingdom shall not continue. Is that there? The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and get him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah and Benjamin. And Samuel numbered the people that were present with him about 600. And Saul and Jonathan, rather the son, and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. So what was happening? You know, when Saul even told Paul, when Samuel told Saul, what he had done wrong, did you see any sense of remorse? Did you see any sense of remorse? There's no sense of remorse. In fact, he still insisted that Samuel should act as if nothing happened. Go to chapter 15. Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord said to anoint thee to be the king over the people over Israel, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that the Amalekite did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up to Egypt. Verse 3 now says, right now go and spare Amalek and utterly destroy all they that have and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infants and sucklings, ox and sheep and camel and ass. Look at verse 13. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said unto him, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen in my ears? Right, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite, and the people spared best of the sheep and the oxen that sacrificed to the Lord, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Look at verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and try to destroy the sinners of Amalekite and fight against them until they be consumed. Look at verse 31. Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye ether to me, Agag, the king of Amalekites. I'm trying to rush a lot here, but I think I'll just rather leave it till, you know, Wednesday, right? So, but what is the story of what is being communicated here? When Saul first heard about the man Samuel, what was in his heart? Honor for the man Samuel. What did he say? What gift can we give pastor? But all of a sudden, he had become familiar with pastor. Is that correct? Yeah. And in becoming familiar with pastor, pastor did not come one day. He just said, bring all the burnt offering. Let's quickly do it. So pastor now called and said, what have you done? He says, you have done foolishly. You know, when you read through the story properly, you find out that Samuel was not even apologetic. You know what he even told Saul? You know what Saul now told Saul? Hey, God, you help me today. Saul was not apologetic. He wasn't sorry about it. Are we together? And he told He told Sam, okay, let's stay with Sam and Saul. So he told Sam and said, Pastor Sam, and he said, just act as if everything is normal. Don't let them know that everything. But what did Pastor Sam say to Saul? He says, from today, right, you've done something foolishly, and this is the repercussion. We're going to look at that on Wednesday. What am I saying? Familiarity is something that happens a lot of times when you get close with God's servants. But ensure you don't get into over familiarity. Are we together? Yeah. When your Pastor Samuel is getting close to you, are we together? And you are eating with Pastor Samuel, you are sleeping with Pastor Samuel, you are dancing with Pastor Samuel, right? That is the time and the moment you need to up your what? Your honor game, your honor card. Are we together? Right? For there will be no excuse for this honor based on familiarity. We'll look at that going forward. And on Wednesday again, we'll look at Micah and David and all the stories that we have around that. So one of the things you must understand is that honor is very, 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 very important in your Christian walk, in your Christian faith. And there'll be certain men, right, I'm going to look at that in Romans, who God has chosen to pioneer certain fronts. Are we together? There'll be certain men who God has chosen. There'll be certain men in different generations. Are we together? Who God will use or God will set to pioneer certain fronts. I was telling you an example of Archbishop Benson in Dawsa earlier on, right? I heard of another story, right? It was Apostle Suleiman and Suleiman, rather, that shared this, you know, in passing. And he said that one day he was sharing, I think I've shared this before, right? As he was giving an announcement, is that correct? He was giving an announcement and someone fell off from the over gallery and broke their head. All together. And he went there and what? This is somebody who had a record of over 20 dead raised in his ministry time. Are we together? Let me tell you something though. You know, faith is beautiful to build. It's important to build. Right? But one of the best ways to start raising your faith is start practicing faith with every and any situation. Don't let your record be that you've never healed. I'm not saying there are people who have never healed headache and raised the dead. Are we together? But you see, a lot of times, if you go straight to going to raise it, have you not gone close to dead body before? I remember one pastor, right? Yeah, I see him and his friend, they went to go and raise the dead. They asked them to open the mortuary, they go into the mortuary. They pray, 3 hours. In fact, when the man was even laying on the head, so I think the friend now moved his leg. The friend now turned the leg of the man, the head now shook. Okay, I ran away from the... He ran away from the mortuary. Are we together? Yeah, you see, but you see, when you see men like that, right, the truth is that there's something they know. There's something they've operated in. I tell you the story of witches in Africa, maybe the world wanted to gather and do witch. You know witches have meeting. They have annual conference, so I hope you know. I heard the headquarters in South Africa. I heard the wealthiest herbalist in South Africa. Yeah. Yeah. So they meet. They have like yearly encrusted. their own encrusted version. They meet. And one day, they wanted to just say that, nothing will happen in the name of Jesus and everything. Blah, 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 blah. That even God cannot stop this global meeting we want to have. And, blah, blah, blah. And Bishop Bensida said, no, God doesn't need to stop you. I will stop you. And the meeting, they did it on national TV. When they want to give an announcement, imagine you are watching TV today and the announcement you are seeing is Witches Association, Witches Association of Africa are meeting. I heard there was one pastor who wanted to go and scatter his church. And Archbishop just said, just do a flyer and put my picture on the flyer. And they didn't scatter the church. See, those are men that in the real sense, there's a level of honor we give to them. Such that if you don't honor those giftings on their lives, you will not experience them in your life. Are we together? See, there are people, yeah? There's a man called Pastor Adeboye, yeah? Do you know what it is to gather human beings to pray in a 3x3 kilometer venue? You know apatheia. It's apatheia that is winding your head. You and him are equal. I was in a meeting one day when Pastor Adeboye, he just stood on the stage and he said, where are the pastors? Come, go and stand there. All the cripple and everybody come to the front. I said, I just lift my hands and I just say, pray, just lay hands. See people jumping off from seats. He just stood at the back. Someone that exhausted 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer auditorium. People are gathering every month to pray, to seek the face of the Lord. That man has that grace. So don't go and be shouting. Their vision is that they want to see a church in every 5 minutes drive. Do you see that vision? That man has the grace. So if they say redeem, bah, today, you will see how they will troop him. He is anointed for that. I can tell you for free, not everybody in the body is anointed for that. All together. There are special men. That's the truth, though. There are people that God will particularly choose. Why did God choose Moses in his generation? How many Moses could there have been? There was one Moses. Are we together? So don't use your knowledge to go and be talking down on pastors. Are we together? If a pastor says something you don't like, what do you do? Change the channel. Are you here? If you think a pastor is deceiving his members, what do you do? Delete, unfollow the account. While you are seeing those things. Right? Because you need to ensure you keep your heart. Let me tell you something. For everything you see that God will do in the earth, he will do it irrespective of the flaws of man. That's why you can't point to a man of faith in the scripture that God used that did not have flaws. Let me say it one more time. For everybody that God will use as a man in this earth, they will have their flaws. Very important. This is not an excuse to say pastors should keep having flaws. No. But the truth is that there's such a thing God looking beyond. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So don't look down on anybody's ministry. Don't talk down on anybody's ministry. If you don't like what they are preaching, that's not what your pastor is preaching, you change the channel. Are we together? Please let this instruct your heart. Are we together? Let this instruct your heart.